Well, the big dog is in the house again. Dr. Mac has come to say hello. How are you, mate?
What's up, Greg? Very good, mate. Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Ah, mate. Well, when we're launching a new Hydroxyburn Shred Ultra product, I'm going to get you to come in and talk about the science.
Excellent. I look forward to that.
Let's rip in. And for those people that don't know, Tropicana now available in store.
Cannot wait to try it.
Welcome to the Body Science Podcast, bringing you everything you need, want, and should know about health, fitness, nutrition, and training. As always, the information contained in this podcast is for the information purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or be prescriptive to treat, prevent, or manage any injury, disease, or other health-related condition. Today's podcast is brought to you by Hydroxyburn Shred Ultra Nootropic Thermogenic. Shred Ultra is scientifically engineered to shred body fat, ignite metabolism, and boost all-day energy while enhancing cognitive performance, focus, clarity, and mood. It combines powerful fat-burning thermogenics, Garcinia, green coffee bean, guarana, caffeine, and an industry-leading 4 grams of acetyl L-carnitine with potent nootropic ingredients at effective therapeutic doses to give you maximum results.
Welcome to Body Science HQ. We've got the big dog of sports science in Australia in the house, Professor Chris McCollum.
Thanks, Gregory. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Hey, it's good to have you back in the house. Mate, we're not going to muck around today. I want to go on about the science of Shred Ultra. I want to talk about the theories behind it. Yep. And, you know, I'm looking for your opinion on yes and no's because obviously we're not a pharma company that makes a single ingredient and researches it for years and gets 25-year IP protection.
Okay.
Which is how a drug company works.
Yeah, absolutely.
And second part is dig deep on a few of the ingredients just to tell the people the science behind them.
Sounds good. And I'll throw out my disclaimer. I'm not a dietitian. I have a working knowledge of nutrition and ingredients, and so we'll have a red hot crack at it.
Okay, so we won't give any diet advice today. We'll just talk about the product.
Just talk subs. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's talk subs.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
So where do you want to start?
Well, mate, let's start it. You know, when you talk about putting a thermogenic together, what should people be looking for and why put a thermogenic together?
Yeah, okay. Well, so super popular, right? And fat loss, I think, drives most of the health and fitness community and general life. Yep. I mean, a lot of people are looking to find strategies to increase their metabolic rate. They're looking for improved performance. They're looking for better mental acuity. There's a lot of pieces there that can come together in one product. So the Shred, which is, you know, a 3-in-1 thermogenic nootropic performance-based product. And I always call it this delivery vector that promotes fat loss and, you know, amplifies thermogenesis, supports cognitive function and mental alertness, which is huge because a lot of people aren't, well, I think there's two types of people in the training world. Some that love their stims and those that think that they shouldn't have their stims because someone told them that they shouldn't. And so they're looking for more of a nootropic product that can help them. And everyone talks about avoiding the crash. I've never had a crash after a pre-workout in my life, so I don't even know what they're talking about. But if you can have a product that has a release mechanism that gives you a benefit throughout the day, so for that prolonged productivity, I think, you know, we're in a really good place. And the Shred, you know, I'm a big fan. I live on the stuff. And they're the three components, I think. If you're talking about a product in this genre, then they're the three keys, I think, to when you're going to put a product together.
Yeah.
Where do you start? Well, we think about the mental acuity, focus, the metabolism. We think about the thermogenesis, the energy production, and then we think about the performance. And that, whether it's a HIIT session, whether it's a, you know, your list type stuff or whatever it is, strength workout, whatever it might be, people are looking for something to help them get through their workouts.
Yeah. And man, I remember probably about 4 or 5 years ago, and you may know the exact year, you came to me and said, Greg, you've got to look at nootropics.
Yeah.
You were doing a lot of work with NHL teams in...
Yeah, I've been a big fan of nootropics and that space around nootropic ingredients for a long time. And I think, you know, Body Science has got this product and there's some in the pre as well. But, you know, in terms of looking to get into that space, and it's a complex space in that, in this part of the world, I suppose, we don't have a lot of some of the products that are available maybe in the US or
Absolutely.
In Europe, right? So we're limited to what we can put in some of these products. Nootropic generally, though, is any substance, as a general rule, for those that may not be, some people call it a nootropic or a nootropic, but it's a nootropic. It's N-O-O-T-R-O-P-I-C. So it's just a substance that enhances cognition, I should say, and plays a role ideally in memory and short-term memory, and then facilitates learning. So that's kind of some of the, I guess, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about these products. So in real terms, that's focused focus during your workouts, prolonged ability to concentrate during your workouts, stay on task, you know, that mind-muscle interaction, whatever it is you want to call it, that enable you to get through the workout at a high level with or without the stims.
Yep.
And I think, and that we talk about executive functions and memory and motivation and all these sorts of things. So that's the space we're in. And there's a huge, I mean, there's no downside, right? It's all an upside.
Yeah, what is the downside?
Yeah, well, there isn't one. You know, in terms of the product, safe, effective, we talk about therapeutic doses, and I'm sure we'll get through that in this podcast. And that's the thing, I've always been a massive fan of body science, not to pump up too many tires, but it's open labeling. There's no proprietary blends. It's my pet hate in the world of supplementation. We see that in a lot of places around the world. Let's just put 45 products onto a label. We won't tell anyone how much of anything's in it, and, you know, may or may not have a therapeutic dose. And that's what sets companies like Body Science apart from a lot of the other players. And that's what you got in this product, and that's where it should be.
Mate, I hated that from a kid too. Like, when I used to have Alphabet Soup, I never knew how many Ks I was going to get.
No,
that's
right.
It used to piss me off. It wasn't on the label, so.
Yeah, awesome.
No, mate, if you're not going to tell people what's in your product, don't make a product, I say. Each of their own, though.
And because if you're just a person wanting to do your workout, you want to get the best results, or at the other end of the spectrum, if you're a performance-based athlete, or you're prepping for a comp in the physique competition space, bodybuilding, things like that, you want to know how much of something's in there so that you can, you know, take that into consideration for your overall strategy. If you don't know how much caffeine's in something, well, where do you even start?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
You know, so anyway, so that's what I think about when you sit down and start to design a product, that's where you start.
Mate, can we just step back and go, just for the people out there, and go, what is a thermogenic? Like, thermogenics came into the fitness world 15 years ago.
Yeah, so the thermogenics are anything that I talk, you know, that have a role in increasing metabolism, really simply. So heat production. And there's a couple of different types of ways the body can do that. And I've talked about that in other podcasts with sort of the whole thermogenic. And I think the last podcast we talked about shivering and non-shivering thermogenesis. Yep. There's
Absolutely.
A couple of ways that have a role with even things like body fat distribution, white fat, brown fat. But we talk about a thermogenic, you're talking about a product that is intended, or there's a scientific basis to confirm that it will increase metabolism and caloric expenditure throughout the day, ideally for a sustained period of time, to contribute to fat loss. And that's what we're talking about. So when you take a product like Ultra, and, you know, we talk about this all the time with hormones and drugs and products that go into supplements, it's not, you can't look at things as one-off. You look at the interaction between products. And so you might look at something like an interaction between, you know, something as simple as green coffee bean, which is in the product, and Alka, for example. And so those products will combine very nicely to provide that thermogenic effect. Or it might be any of those sort
and
of things.
We do
the guarana and the green tea, for example.
That's
those
why
sort
we
of
added the green
And that's why you put them in combination, exactly. Because together they have it's like a piggyback type effect that improves the outcome of the standalone product.
Absolutely. So, mate, looking at, do you think nootropics, thermogenics and performance deserve to be in the same product?
I do.
But before we step into deep dive into some of the ingredients and what they do, but
I do. I think individually they bring something to the table, but then when you put them all together, so can they go together? The answer is yes.
Yep.
Should they go together? The answer, I think, is also yes. Because, you know, from a product, the interactions of the ingredients. So, for example, caffeine interacting with, so caffeine will have a performance benefit, but it'll also have a nootropic benefit. It'll also have a thermogenic effect. So you got that 3-in-1 type of approach. You take guarana, you take green tea, any of those sort of products, they will have, say, performance-based benefits, but also the thermogenic type benefits. And then with the nootropics, you know, we've got the ashwagandha and we've got the baklava and that sort of stuff in there that, in combination with caffeine, will give you a boost, will give you that nootropic boost. So, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the other thing that the nootropics will do often is have what's called an anxiolytic type effect, which is a drop in anxiety. It's probably not true to say a drop in anxiety, but will contribute to a reduction of perceived anxiety. And so that's part of the process of what's also called an adaptogen. So an adaptogen is something that adds adaptation to a stressor to bring about a positive response. So in this case, with a nootropic, it would be improved focus and improved mental clarity. They're the kinds of things that, okay, so you've got product to improve performance, thermogenic effect, and I'm going to improve your mental acuity. It's a pretty good scenario.
Yeah, it's not a bad scenario, is it? Yeah. I'm going to get you to break the next part of these ingredients up into 3 sections: performance, because obviously everybody wants to take a product to perform. Let's start in the basics. Then we'll dig into some nootropic ingredients.
You might know more about these than I do, Gregory.
Mate, I've got a very limited knowledge of anything.
I don't think.
And then we might finish up with the big bad boy thermogenesis and fat burning and tell those stories, because that's a nice way to finish.
Yep.
So just kicking off with performance, some of the key ingredients obviously you mentioned before were caffeine, garcinia, guarana, green tea, green coffee bean, chromium, the 4 grams of acetyl or carnitine.
Yeah.
Just want to emphasize 4 grams there.
Exactly right.
Mate, just talking about the performance side side of things. We've listed a few ingredients a second ago. Let's kick off with one of the big ingredients, and I'm a massive believer in Garcinia. Not a lot, you don't see a lot of products these days anymore. I think it was made popular by Dr. Oz, that's probably why.
Yeah,
but
right.
The guy had a bit of vision, but massive fan of it myself. What does the science say?
So yeah, your Garcinia, the long, I suppose the technical term is this Garcinia gummy gutter, which is a fruit peel type of extract. It's aimed at reducing appetite fundamentally, that will ultimately then play a role in a reduction of fat stores, and then ultimately the outcome of that is a reduction in body weight and fat. And so
with a smart diet and training.
Yeah. And so they're attributed to it's called a HCA, which is a hydroxycitric acid, which inhibits what's called cytosol ATP citrate lysase, which is a bit of a mouthful. But in turn, what does that mean? Well, it's an enzyme that catalyzes the synthesis of acetyl-CoA and oxaloacetate using citrate, CoA, ATP as a substrate. And then it also uses magnesium as a cofactor. So what that produces is an enzymatic type of reaction that leads to fatty acid utilization and also cholesterol and triglycerides. And it does that via this enzyme citric acid lysase that produces a reduction in body fat ultimately. So that's a big mouthful there.
That's massive.
But it can also, this HCA will play a role in lowering plasma lipid concentrations.
Okay.
And it does that it also inhibits this thing called a cholesterol ester transfer protein, which isn't a huge issue. But the mechanism is that it inhibits this de novo lipogenesis. So it's a pathway that mediates fatty acid synthesis. I suppose the net effect is that it's a really effective product for fat utilization and a reduction in the regeneration of more fat, I suppose, is probably the best way to describe it. So it has a role as an appetite suppressant as well, which is probably not that well publicized. It's hypolipidemic, which means that it lowers this lipogenesis or lipogenesis, which is the generation of fat, lipid, and also higher lipid degradation rate. So it will have a good contribution to lowering body fat. It's an antioxidant as well, so there's some sort of general health effects as well. And there's some anti-inflammatory activity that occurs as a result of it as well.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so Garcinol, which is one of the derivatives, has a role in reducing some of the reactive oxygen species that are byproducts of metabolism. And so it will play a role in this anti-inflammatory response as well, which is anything we can take that reduces global inflammation in the body.
Absolutely.
Is a good thing. That's a lot, actually. That's pretty technical. But it has a bona fide role in why it should be in one of these products.
And just for anyone out there want to know, we're putting 5 grams in a 10-gram serve. So we're big fans of it.
That's huge.
Bring it on. So, Dr. Mack, the next thing under the performance part of Hydroxyburn Shred Ultra is the green tea.
Excellent.
We're big green tea fans at Body Science.
Camellia sinensis. Yes. I like it. Very nice, Greg. So again,
well you've said got, too. You've for a non-herbalist, that's impressive.
Yeah. So it's a solid serve too, right? Which is excellent. So one of the active ingredients in the green tea extracts are the polyphenols, which come from flavonoids and catechins. So overall, I mean, there's a bunch of them. There's epicatechin, there's epigallocatechin. There's about four of them that exist. But there's been quite a lot of research around these that having a positive or a protective effect on heart disease.
Okay.
And even some types of cancers because of pretty powerful antioxidant. And so we'll have an effect against some of these free radicals. So overall, you know, a really positive outcome. So it's got a good justification as a popular, what's called a nutraceutical, as an antioxidant. And so they'll protect against the damaging effects of the reactive oxygen species and superoxide, the peroxyl radicals, things like that I've talked about in other podcasts. The other thing that green tea's really useful for that probably doesn't get a lot of publicity is around its role in improving mental alertness.
Wow, okay.
Even some evidence around relieving some digestive issues and ultimately promoting weight loss through its, you know, performance-based effects. So, you know, some of the tea catechins, especially the EGCG, which appears to have anti-obesity and even anti-diabetic type effects. So really good story around the role of the green tea in a product like the Ultra.
Okay, nice. Mate, just tapping onto the next performance aspect of Hydroxyburn Shred Ultra, I want to tap into guarana. I mean, we could just drop caffeine in. Well, obviously, we get green tea's got a caffeine in it as well. Mm. We play with some guarana. What are your thoughts on guarana? What does the science say? More importantly, what does the science say?
Well, guarana actually contains about four times the amount of caffeine than coffee. In itself, you know, it's going to provide a great stimulatory type of property to the product as well. What is it again? It's a Pulleyena cupana or something is the technical name of guarana.
It's P-A-U-L-L-I-N-I-A-C-U-P-A-N-A. So
yeah, that's what I said. Yeah.
Nice.
So it's a great source of theobromine. I've talked about that. Theobromine's great for the appetite type side of things as well. It's also a stimulant.
Yep.
Theobromine plays a role in increasing nitric oxide synthesis within the body. So that'll help with your pump, right? Especially if you're using the Ultra as a pre-workout. So there's a use for this product in general day-to-day use, but you can also use it as a pre if you want
pump
to.
On.
Yeah, get your pump on. Yeah.
I think a lot of people do use it as a pre just between you and me.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so, I know I do.
Yeah, so the caffeine within guarana, the theobromine, there's also a theophylline, which they work in slightly different ways, but their effect is the same. It's about improved energy or that feeling of energy, increased alertness, improved workout performance, and this greater perception of well-being. So you put all those together and it's a pretty good scenario. Also, fat oxidation, there's research. So I'm just rolling through things here. But
yeah, you're just talking science, mate.
There's a bunch of research that we can attach to the bottom of this.
Yep, done.
Substantiates everything we're talking about today. Yep. So this is not, we're not plucking these things out of nowhere.
Not known for that.
It's not how we do things. In terms of the increased factor oxidation, there's really high correlations with the methylxanthine content, which is caffeine's a methylxanthine, yep. Right? So the methylxanthines reduce physical fatigue. We know that. Time to exhaustion, things like that. And they also play a role in preventing, or not about preventing, but delaying the onset of drowsiness.
Yeah, nice.
So they keep us alert. Yep. And I can sort of dig into that a little bit more when we get to caffeine. But yeah, man. So there's a bunch of stuff there associated with that.
There's actually a bunch more ingredients, so we might jog on a little bit quickly.
Sure. Is that right? Yeah. We'll fly through.
Don't bore people here, mate.
Fly through them. Yep.
Let's have a chat about green coffee bean. That's a new ingredient we put in. That was based on you having a little chat to me. It was a while ago about working well with carnitine.
Yeah. So great interactions with carnitine. Mm. Also, lots of research around it for heart health and also as a fat loss product. We think that it might be through this. It's pretty complicated. One of the things when we're talking about all these ingredients or whatever. Might be. There's always a mechanistic side of things. So, for example, green coffee bean will work through, it's called a PPARA agonist, which is a peroxisome proliferator activated receptor. And so what that, it's associated with metabolic type of adaptations. So it'll increase body heat. That's the take home. And so that will then also have an antioxidant type effect as well. So a lot of these products are synergistic in that they're working together to provide that performance benefit, but also that antioxidant effect. So reduced insulin, reduced glucose spikes, all that sort of stuff following a meal. It's pretty good in terms of its role in contributing to fueling workouts as well.
Okay, nice. Mate, the next big thing I want to dig deep on the science on is chromium.
Yeah.
Fan?
Chromium chloride. Yeah, big fan.
You like
fan.
The research?
Yep. Lots of good research around its enhancement of the action of insulin. So that's really critical for glucose availability and metabolism. Plays a role in utilization of carbohydrates, things like that. So directly involved in carbohydrate, fat, and protein metabolism, which is important. It stimulates the AMPK pathway, which is the adenosine monophosphate kinase pathway. That's a key cellular energy pathway, I suppose, for monitoring ATP levels. It maintains metabolic homeostasis, which is great for activating low energy rates. So I wouldn't go so far as to say a stimulatory effect, but a reduction of drowsiness as associated with that product as well. There's also some research to support chromium sensitization of the hypothalamus. So the hypothalamus and thyroid, but particularly the hypothalamus, drive a lot of functions within the body. And I've talked a lot about the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis, the hypothalamus pituitary gonadal axis. They play really important central and then in downstream effects on metabolism, fat utilization, hormonal production and hormonal turnover rates. So I'm talking the big hitters here. I'm talking cortisol, I'm talking testosterones, I'm talking the progesterones, the estrogens, the estradiols, those sorts of things. So all of these things are regulated by the hypothalamus. So if we can have a product, i.e. chromium, that improves the sensitization of hypothalamus, it will then have an effect on things like insulin, things like cortisol, which hugely beneficial from an overall health and well-being perspective. The other thing that chromium, there's some research around certainly increased glycolysis, which is the use of glucose, and production of serotonin, which is kind of an interesting one, which also we know serotonin, if we've got a facilitation of serotonin, there's a calming effect associated with that. So again, a really good overall nootropic performance, mental well-being type of presentation.
A few things in there, we all just thought it was good for sugar.
Well, it's all right for that too, right?
We're still in performance on the formula, so I'm dragging this on a little bit, but the two big bad boys to come. Let's talk about caffeine first, and then we're going to hit it home with some little carnitine.
So caffeine, got to love caffeine, right? Been around for forever. It's a great central nervous system stimulant. It's a methylxanthine class, so it reduces physical fatigue, prevents, treats drowsiness, things like that. Really well known. Lots and lots of research around its powerful, you know, stimulant or stimulatory effect. Great for strength, great for endurance, overall exercise performance. It's also classified as a nootropic because it will promote neuron sensitivity and mental alertness as well. Now, it's a central nervous system stimulant. As I said, it's a methylxanthine. One of the mechanisms by which it acts is through this antagonization of adenosine receptors. And we did a whole podcast on this, so people can go back. But what it does is caffeine reversibly blocks the action of adenosine on its receptor. And that what that consequently does is produce or prevent the onset of drowsiness, because adenosine brings on drowsiness. So by blocking that or an antagonistic action, antagonistic means opposite, you know, there's a great presentation there around performance, but also the nootropic effect of it as well. Improved alertness and wakefulness as well. Yeah. So this, I suppose, concentration levels is probably a good way to describe that. And by inhibiting adenosine, it can also influence some of those neurotransmitters like dopamine, like serotonin, acetylcholine, and the whole adrenaline group of hormones. The other one, and I kind of don't want to go down that track, but there's also a role around cyclic adenosine monophosphate, so CAMP, phosphatase, and that results as well in a reduction of drowsiness. So without going over the top in terms of the depth of the science, there's a really good piece around that. And then mobilization of intracellular calcium is another side of it as well within the sarcoplasmic reticulum. So for those that know their physiology and their muscle, how muscle activations and contractions work, and I think we've talked about this a lot in other podcasts as well, but by mobilizing intracellular calcium from the sarcoplasmic reticulum, caffeine can have a role in the whole cross-bridging or muscle activation, muscle shortening. So that's where it plays a role in strength, so improving your muscle endurance. So endurance is just delaying the fatigue, right? By facilitating an availability of intracellular calcium, we have more calcium available to impact on troponin and tropomyosin binding.
I was just thinking about that this morning on my run.
So what that means is that they're able to cross bridge, and it's you can produce force is what I'm getting at. So for those that like their physiology, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. For those that don't, they just sort of glazed over that little bit. Cognitive performance, big piece to it as well. Attention, vigilance, reaction times as well. So when you're doing your plyo workouts, your HIIT sessions, you know, your caffeine will kick in and give you a hand with that. It stimulates the sympathetic nervous system, and it does that via ACTH, which stimulates the hypothalamus via the pituitary adrenal axis. It reduces fatigue, increases alertness, you know, so that'll optimize your outputs as well. It's also suggested to be a nitric oxide booster.
Okay.
And so, you know, we talk about this therapeutic dose, 300 milligrams. People that took those kind of dosages experienced an increase in nitric oxide levels. So that increases your blood flow to the working muscle and ultimately improve performance. So, you know, we could talk all day about caffeine.
Blood flow, energy pump. Starts to sound like a pre-workout.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like a pretty useful product, right?
Yeah, let's get on to that. Mate, probably one of the big things that our Hydroxyburn Shred Ultra is known for is for the 4 grams of acetyl-L-carnitine. Yeah. There's no need to buy another carnitine product with ours. It's an expensive ingredient. It's highly touted in anything that talks about weight loss these days. Obviously, the levels are very different in a lot of formulas. Yep. We've gone 4 grams. That's where we landed. But mate, what's the science say about acetyl-L-carnitine?
It's actually interesting that the acetyl component to the L-carnitine. So there are a few different types of L-carnitine, as you know. So the acetyl, it's also called ALCAR. So anyone who sees ALCAR, that's what we're talking about here. And so without being lost in the biochemistry, it's bound to an acetyl group. Now, there's two forms. There's a L-carnitine and the acetyl form, which is the acetyl L-carnitine. So you'll see these in your products. They're not all the same, all right? So my suggestion would be that we're looking for the L-acetyl version of the L-carnitine that will give us, the acetyl L-carnitine is able to alleviate some of the effects of aging. Actually has a really positive effect on mitochondria and mitochondria's ability to burn fat. And that's where, I suppose, the vast majority of research and evidence around L-carnitine as a fat loss product have come from. It's the interaction with the mitochondria more than anything. But interestingly, L-CAR has an increased body of evidence coming through around its ability to improve alertness.
Okay.
So I take it certainly as part of this product, but I used to take it as part of my own little blend. I took it as a nootropic, not from a body fat perspective, but from its ability to improve alertness. And the improvement on mitochondrial capacity is kind of like a positive, nice thing to have on the side. So the acetyl version, some might call it the neurological version of L-carnitine because it has that positive effect as a nootropic type of thing as well. And that's had an amount of evidence that tells us that it improves improves mood, positive effects on cognitive function, things like attention, things like memory. And that's why you'll see it in a lot of nootropic formulations, like the Shred. Within the, pretty technical, but within the mitochondria itself, the LCAR is taken up by a carnitine, acetyl-carnitine transferase. It's a CACT. It's an enzyme. And then that fuels what's called the citric acid cycle, or the Krebs cycle, which you know, a lot of people will be familiar with in the production of ATP. And so what that'll do ultimately is improve performance off the back of that as well.
Okay.
We've got improvements or a suppression of drowsiness that comes across as associated with it as well. So it's another really good product that has dual effects in terms of the performance-based side of things and the nootropic side of things. Yeah. So yeah, it's a really worthwhile product to have in there.
Let's dig into the nootropic side. Obviously, you've spoken about caffeine. We're not going to re-spew that back out.
Sure.
And you've quite mentioned that Alcar, Chromium, and a few other products that we've talked about have a positive effect on that already from the performance side. So let's dig into some of the other ingredients that are in there and do a bit of a deep dive on the science if we can.
Yeah. Mate, we'll see if we get our pronunciations right.
Yeah, well, I'm not very good at it. I'd hate to be doing like herbal exams right now because it's terrible. But with Aina or ashwagandha, as a lot of people call it.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, let's go with it. Mate, what does the science say?
Okay, so the science tells us, and there is science that tells us that, so it's definitely used in...
It's got a lot of traditional...
Traditional medicine. Yep. And so
that's not something you're going to hang too long on?
Not really. It's not really my thing. But but definitely it's been around in health, wellbeing, performance type products for some time. So it's an antioxidant. So... It plays a role that tells us that it would be reducing anxiety. And then it's an adaptogen as well. So what that means is the substance will aid in the adaption to a stressor. So whether that's a physical stressor or a mental stressor, whatever it might be. So it's non-specific in that regard. The other thing, though, with the ashwagandha is around this neuroprotection role that, and sort of interestingly to me, is around the enhanced athletic performance.
Okay.
So I've always just thought of it as a nootropic type product. So, but it's also shown, well, I guess as a nootropic and a performance related product, ashwagandha has demonstrated some cortisol lowering effects.
Okay.
Even improvements on things like insomnia, depression, immunosuppression, that sort of thing. So pretty broad. There's not a ton of research, but there's definitely research and we can cite some of those, but definitely the anti-stress piece, and that seems to be a lowering of corticosterone signaling as well as suppressing things like glutamate in response to stress. Also some secondary to the anti-stress properties, things around a role in serotonin levels, GABA signaling, things like that. So pretty broad. And I would say promising is where the research is in terms of where it sits, but bona fide in terms of it being playing a role in the anxiety piece. Now, where it sits in a product like this, you go, well, okay, it's going to level out any stimulatory effect I get, say from the caffeine, the ashwagandha would sit in this space around the maintenance of that improvement in cognitive function, the reduction in anxiety. So sort of almost a leveler that gives you that longer effect. Now, I'm not saying ashwagandha prolongs the effects of caffeine. What I'm saying is this product can work synergistically with that to give you a more...
Feel good.
A less up and down type effect. It gives you a more consistent type of effect to the product. So it's not a huge spike and then a drop.
Yeah.
Right? It's okay, the product kicks in and then it's maintained. It's probably a better way to describe it. Research around impact on low-density lipoproteins.
Okay.
So your LDLs, traditionally, certainly something we want to be aware of in terms of cholesterol profiles. The other one is around cardiorespiratory performance. So whilst I said it's generally considered just a nootropic, but there's some interesting research. I found a paper around role with VO2 max. So yeah, there's some interesting broader effects of ashwagandha that I think I would say watch this space.
Yeah,
okay. I'd say, you know, in terms of where it's at right now, bona fide nootropic, but where it sits in a product like this, I think, you know, it's probably got a lot more benefits than we even know about right now.
Exactly.
So
bring on the research,
yeah,
I say.
I think so, definitely. And it's hard, you know, it takes time for that research to evolve. Research in humans is tough with products, you know.
And for those people out there wondering how much we've got in the product, we've put a gram in. So that's a lot of capsules for anyone out there trying to work out what that is. Mate, the next ingredient under this nootropic banner that I love is Brahmi. Now, I haven't seen it in any sports products yet. It was something that we went a little bit left field on, spoke to a lot of your naturopath mates. That you're all about. And then you were good enough to go dig deep on the research for us and tell us what the research said.
Yep.
So, mate, let's just talk about the research of Brahmi.
Yeah, so definitely. it's sat in the world of herbs and that sort of area for a really long time around traditional medicine. It's been used in that space for longevity and for cognitive enhancement for quite some time. But yeah, there's some research around improvement of cognition, reduction of anxiety, improved memory, the formation of memory. What it does, it interacts with dopamine and the serotonin type systems, but its main action is around enhancement of the rate at which the nervous system can communicate by increasing the growth of nerve endings. So that's where, you know, this facilitation of neural adaptation is a really strong piece. It's an antioxidant. I mean, that's been known for a long time. But this increase in memory function, it does that via an enzyme called tryptophan hydroxylase, which is a TPH2. And what that enzyme does is increase the expression of the serotonin transporter, which is a SERT. And so that therefore it'll also do things like inhibit acetylcholine esterase enzymes. What does that mean? Well, that means...
Glad you asked.
Yeah. So what that means is that it's a potentially a first-line nootropic for even things like neurodegenerative diseases. So I'm not saying that it's a cure-all for Alzheimer's or anything like that, but like a lot of these products, the research is just sort of infant in its stages. Like it's interesting, and it takes time to roll this research out. But you know, I had a look at this when I knew we were going to talk about it, and I found a paper on that around the whole role of acetylcholine esterases and even things like Alzheimer's. So you know, I very optimistically look at this space and say, well, it's interesting to see where this is heading, because there's a whole range of those benefits with the nootropics that are it's a brave new world, mate. Like you know, trying to work out the other thing with the Brahmi is around the perception of stress, which is an interesting scenario as an adaptogen. How you perceive a stress. So we talk a lot about hormonal adaptations to stress and cortisol spikes and all that sort of stuff, and everyone is pretty familiar with that space. But the Brahmi seems to have a really positive impact on how we're perceiving the acute or almost a beneficial effect associated with how we perceive acute stress and then how we manage chronic stress. And that's really interesting from a product perspective. Like if you're going to take this, you know, and you want it to get you through your day. Well, that's what we're talking about, right? Mm. You take it in the morning or, you know.
Which most people are.
Which most people do. You know, they go to work, stuff happens, life, you know, every day, right? So if it can have a positive effect on how we get through our day, well,
absolutely,
you're in a good place.
Mate, I first came over at, would have been back when you were first, you were talking about nootropics before, and I had to go look the word up when we had our first chat years ago when you're doing that stuff for the US teams.
Yep.
And I started reading, not front page Google, but getting deep into Google. And I came across the Brahmi and Ginkgo combo. And I remember that one of Cherie's friends had, her mother, the husband was pretty much just in a chair, didn't speak a lot, had a few head knocks as playing football and stuff as a younger guy, and didn't have a lot of conversation, just sat around the table and filled a chair. I said to her one day, you should try those two things on him, just give it a go. This is back when you were talking about nootropics years and years ago.
Yeah.
Well, he actually started having conversations and wanting to do stuff, and she took him back off it so he could just chair again. Like it was at that level and so Brahmi is used in a lot of head knock style programs. So not saying it's in there for that, but that's where I first heard about the Brahmi, and obviously you said a bit of the science goes down the lines.
Yeah,
and we'll stick that science underneath this so people can go and read it as well.
Yeah, and I think, as I said, with the whole head injury scenario right now, you know, it's not new. It's been on the agenda for probably a decade, but, you know, we're still figuring a lot of that out because, again, I've said this in this podcast previously, it's the mechanisms by which these products have an impact, because irrespective of whatever it is, right, whether it's, you know, your diet or whether it's a supplement or whether it's how you train, when you cut to the chase, the body works, the currency of the mechanism of how the body works is fundamentally around hormonal adaptation and around some of the physiological adaptations, stressors, whether that's a negative stress or a positive stress. So I think of myself as a mechanistic type person, because when someone says to me it has an impact or it has a positive effect on memory, I want to know how? Why? Like, what's the mechanism by which? Is it a serotonin sort of induced pathway? Is it a dopamine thing? Is it a neurotransmitter based, or is it a some other sort of pro-inflammatory mediated type of response? Because you can measure it. That's where the difficulty with human research, and we talk about this all the time. People ask me this all the time, you know, studies with rats and things like that. Well, the beauty of working with rats is that they're effectively clones, right? And you can apply an identical dose to almost a clone as many times as you want. And so the variability that comes with that is minimal. Now, I know rat physiology isn't human physiology, but that's impossible to do in humans because the variability in humans is enormous. There's only one of everybody, right? So that's where that's why it's so difficult. And then there's ethics. I mean, you can't just, you know, give people whatever you want. And the world of performance science and sports science is still trying to figure it out. You know, there's a lot of things that I think are still kind of in the gimmick phase. And I've talked to you a lot about, you know, genetic research and, you know, genetic profiles and gene expression sort of profiles. Mate, it's so variable. It's very difficult. That's why I always say to you, when someone says to me, tell me what's the best program to lose weight, or what's the best supplement to lose weight, what's the best nutrition strategy, should I be keto, should I be vegan, should I be somewhere in between, the answer is I can't tell you, because what works for you won't work for me.
Absolutely.
And someone else, you know. And we've seen that with research with people that wear, you know, the glucose monitors for 24 hours, right? And they've monitored, you know, how they've given them high GI diets, low GI diets, high fiber diets, high fat diets. And some people will get a high insulin response to high fat diet. So if they go on keto, they're going to get fat as anything, right? It's not going to work for them. Whereas other people, we're way off track. But with other people, they mightn't have a really high insulin response to a high GI. They can eat white bread all day, you know? So it's just really interesting. And that's where we present the information that's available right now.
Yep, exactly.
And that's part of this process.
Love it. Another ingredient that we've dropped in under the nootropic banner is inositol. So sometimes called vitamin B8 for people looking for it.
Yeah. So it's an effective and antioxidant as well. So it promotes a healthy mood, focus, energy levels, things like that, sense of well-being. Yeah, you don't see it that much anymore. But benefits include healthy brain function, and it does that through serotonin levels. Most people are pretty familiar with serotonin, dopamine, those kind of neurotransmitters. They know that they have a calming, or serotonin has a calming type effect. Most of it comes from your gut. You know when they say, here's a completely side issue, but they talk about follow your gut, like your gut's the second brain. So your serotonin, a lot of it comes from your gut. Anyway, I just thought I'd
share. I'm a fan of that, just quietly.
Yeah. Follow your gut instinct. So
try and get rid of your gut.
Reduce your gut size. Yeah. Been working on that for a while. It can promote a healthy immune system, digestive function, all that sort of stuff. One of the things it's also beneficial from a performance perspective, I suppose, and a well-being is this sensitivity to insulin.
Okay.
Why does that matter? Well, insulin resistance is a huge issue.
And we did a massive podcast on that. So,
yes. Yeah. So, you know, if we can have an effect on that. The other thing for B8, the vitamin B8, is PCOS, so, you know, the polycystic ovary problems, so really, really common in female population. We know that it's associated, and I'm not saying this is the only cause, but it's associated with glucose metabolism, so elevated fasting blood glucose, for example, and reduction in glucose sensitivity, and also androgen metabolism, so excess circulating testosterone's associated with that as well. So all of these things that ultimately play a role in health and well-being, but the other issue, or the other downstream effect of that, is problems losing fat, you know, and that's why... That's part of the piece of why that, you know, some ladies struggle to lose weight. Yeah, so the vitamin B8, which I'll say instead of trying to pronounce the inositol, because I can never pronounce it.
Inositol.
Yeah, you said it better than I did. That's what I said. You pronounce it better than I do. I can spell them, I just can't pronounce them.
Mate, the last ingredient I want to have a deep dive on is vitamin B3. The new formula coming out very soon, we've reduced the amount of B3 because we had a few people that were suffering from a niacin flush.
It had
100 milligrams if you took two scoops. So, okay. And the research does say around 70, you can see. But we don't want people having that.
No.
And it's some people get terrible flushes.
You want it in there though, because it's a good product for things like normalizing blood lipid levels. So you can get lower your HDLs, which great outcome. Facilitates energy production, hormone synthesis. There's a lot of really positive reasons why it belongs in this product. And even things like some evidence for, it's got an antioxidant type effect as well. So, you know, overall, you know, extended growth, cognition, longevity, increased cellular function, you know, there's some really positive effects associated with that.
Yeah, well, so we've dropped it back from 50 per half serve to 20.
Yeah, right.
So all those people out there that tried it and got a little flush, come and give it another go.
Yeah, so that's still an appropriate dose to get a therapeutic effect.
Yes, I asked a few smart people about that. So Dr. Mack, I really appreciate you coming in to chat about the deep dive on the science. I know it's...
It's always a pleasure, mate. It's awesome.
It's not an area that you often get asked to talk about herbs, but we're not talking about the herbs, we're talking about the science.
I really like my supplements.
Yeah, I know
you do. I just stay in my lane most of the time.
Yeah, I know. You've actually come to me with some unbelievably good ideas. If only the industry would pay for it.
If only.
Mate, so we talk about Shred, combination of a nootropic, a thermogenic. It's got a performance aspect that you've talked about. Obviously, it's got a lot of other things in there too, you know, with your mood status, and you talked about antioxidants a lot through that theory as well. What I really want to wrap up now is when we first started formulating Shred and why did we were looking for a unique 3-in-1 thermogenic, nootropic performance. And the word you used at the time, I don't know if you remember this, was delivery vector. What did that mean?
Well, it's all encompassed in one product, right? So that's the delivery vector.
Oh, wow. Okay, I can cross it off my list of things I need to learn.
Yeah.
That's good. Let's just, to tap this out, and it's I know it's not your area to prescribe, but if you were to use this product yourself, how would you use it?
Well, it's two ways you can use it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think I touched on earlier in this podcast around as a pre-workout. Absolutely, right? In terms of the, we've already talked about the performance side of it. We talked about nootropic side of it. We talked about the thermogenic side of it. Two ways I would take
it. You even dropped a pump and a nitric oxide.
Yeah, we've got all that there, right? So there's you could absolutely use it as a pre-workout, and you can do that with a with the appropriate serve, whatever, 10 grams serve, two scoops before your workout, no problems whatsoever. I take Shred as a thermogenic, right? So I'll take it first thing in the morning, and then I'll take it later in the day. So I'll take probably only one scoop in the morning, and then I'll do that. I've actually,
because you talk about digestion as another thing as well. That mid morning,
exactly right. So then I'll take it again, sort of late morning, early afternoon,
before lunch.
Yep. And then I'll still smash my pre workout later. You do,
but you've done it. Look, there's a really good caffeine podcast, guys. Get on, have a read. Yep. All the bullshit is taken out in that podcast. There's a lot of depth in that caffeine podcast we did. I've had a lot of people write to me going, "Wow, I had no idea," because there's so much misconception out there.
Yeah. So what we're trying to do is give people. I mean, not everybody wants the high end science, but there are some people who find it pretty interesting, and I think it's there. So let's talk about it.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've covered a fair bit of territory in some of those podcasts. Caffeine, the fat stuff, the testosterone stuff.
Your cortisol one was good.
Talked about that. Yeah. Yep. People can go back, and the series is good, man. Mm. I mean, there's some good stuff in there.
There is,
not just mine, but there's some good stuff in there.
No, exactly.
Mine's probably.
We'll give you my top five or your five. Yeah. Hey, and just finishing up, let's just talk about a few scenarios. So if I've got a 25-year-old office working female, how would she use Shred?
She'd be using it as a thermogenic. So she'd be taking the scoop in the morning. She'd be taking it, around the lunchtime period as well. For all the reasons we've gone through, the alertness, the mental acuity, but also any anxiety type of scenario. So this sustained release throughout the day, or with the two serves throughout the day, you get a sustained output of benefits. We're getting a thermogenic effect, so there's an increased, ultimately, as we said, caloric expenditure and heat and things like that. So, I mean, it's hard to find a downside, right? So
I mean, I think you summed that up. Mate, can I just throw a couple of other scenarios on there?
Most people are going to take it the same way, right?
I think we're going to have a lot of same way.
Yeah.
How about a tradie?
Tradies, same way. I think, tradies want to get up, they want to get going. I see them all on the M1 first thing in the morning, flying down the M1. So, I find it hard to find a better get up and go. So most people have a coffee. Well, there's your coffee.
Yeah.
Plus then some. I don't actually drink much coffee anymore. I'm drinking my Shred and my Prees, and some people want to argue the toss around coffee on its own or caffeine on its own. People think coffee's caffeine on its own, by the way, and we've talked about caffeine's in coffee. So I think, well, this tastes better. And I actually don't get, we've talked about, we talked about caffeine, we talked about the effect that it can have. Don't drink it with prunes. Remember that conversation?
Yes, I remember that conversation.
So, and I don't know, if anyone has a lot of black coffees, they probably know what I'm talking about here. So I don't get any of those effects with a Shred. I don't know about you, but if I smash a lot of coffee, I do.
Game on.
Yeah. So
you don't want to be too far away from where you need to be.
No, that's right. I wouldn't necessarily have prune juice with this either, but there's an effect on how many times you're going to go to the toilet.
Mate, one of the things the way I take it, and I mean, I'm no elite athlete, and who cares? Gives really good shit how I take it, but what works for me, and you're talking about works for you, first thing in the morning, because obviously I can't get to a coffee shop. If I'm going to have a coffee, I'm having a nice coffee made by a barista. Sure. So smashing that, having a train, I'll have a coffee at the right time. But I train at 6 o'clock every night, so getting in 20 minutes before that, and I have no problem going to sleep. I feel good. Well, I put my sleep up today. It was 8.23 hours.
Wow.
Heaps of REM, heaps of deep, heaps of light. I was pretty happy with how that's going. But
good.
I've got my Substack down pat. But for me, that's how I take the product. Caffeine's got it. You talk about caffeine having a shelf life of 5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to affect some people.
Yeah. And some people will be hypersensitive and other people not so much. You do get a tolerance to it. And we talked about that.
I would definitely have a tolerance to caffeine.
Yeah. You would definitely. But people get a tolerance pretty quick. And for anyone who's in that space that, you get the people say, I have, one coffee and my heart goes up and I've got palpitations and I can't concentrate all day. Well, that's why there's the other products in the Ultra that are intended to help manage that sensitivity. So does that mean you might start with half a scoop? Sure, whatever it might be. But I think first thing in the morning, I mean, I'm same, right? That's a great time to start with it. And then depending on what you're going to do in your day, because I'm the same, I train at 6 o'clock at night as well. And so I actually take the Body Science pre before that because I like to mix them up, and my good friends at Body Science support me with that. Yeah, I think first thing in the morning, around the lunchtime, brilliant. And then if you need it as a pre-workout, if you train at 6-7 o'clock at night, I've never had a problem sleeping.
No.
So, I mean, I've got a high level of tolerance, but, you know, people can build that up.
Exactly. Well, mate, that's a Hydroxyburn Shred Ultra deep dive. I appreciate awesome. You are digging deep into the science.
That's good. Happy to do it.
We often get a lot of hate mail about there's no science behind anything we do. And, you know, fair enough. It's
yeah, well, that's unfortunate, man, because there's not many, I don't know too many companies that have more science. So how much science do you need?
Yeah, exactly.
Really? And we can only present information, right? You know, people, we actually talked about levels of scientific evidence in a podcast way back, and I can't remember which one it was, but you know, someone's opinion isn't science. I always say, okay, like, there's probably 60 papers that we've covered today across all of this,
and they'll be on the website,
and I can give you all of them, right? Because we've got them. We've got a list of them already. Yeah. I can't even remember, actually. It's probably somewhere.
I happen to have that list.
Bottom of your list, yeah.
Yes.
So I don't know how many were there, right? 65.
Yeah.
Right. So there's 65 papers that will be referenced at the end of this podcast. I mean, how many more you want?
So all the haters, DM at the Dr. Mac.
Yeah, do not.
Don't DM us. We don't care. We've done everything we can. I'm joking. Hey, we should social media account going.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Bruce on it for a while.
No, I'm not. Like I said, man, I don't think people care too much about what I eat. So I don't really.
Yeah.
I'm not really doing it.
You eat a lot of science. You should talk about that.
It's a full-time job, man. I'm too busy doing it to tell everyone about it.
Yeah, nice. That's a good way to end a podcast. Thanks, mate. Today's podcast was brought to you by our partners in Fit, Happy and Healthy, ASN, Nutrition Warehouse, DY Discount Vitamins, Fat Burners Only, Evelyn Fay, Mr. Supplement, or find a retailer online at bodyscience.com.au/retailers.